Hi, I'm Ella Shawn, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. If I told you you had to choose between two options and you could never change your mind, and you could never know what the other choice was. Oh yeah, you don't even get to know what you're choosing between when you make the decision. It's kind of like the Matrix without the badass leather clothing. So which pill do you want? Red or blue? Yeah. We'll talk about it. Hello, my enchanted beast. How are you? I'm excited because this is the first time I've ever done a video podcast. So I'm recording my podcast, right? And then I'll kind of, you know, make sure that it gets on my Anchor podcast, the audio, but I'm actually doing a video recording of my podcast. It's the first time and I'm super stoked. Although it's kind of weird looking at myself as I'm talking because I honestly feel like, oh my God, I'm cracking up because I'm talking to myself, but I'm not because I'm talking to you guys. Anywho, welcome to Enchanted Beast Podcast. If it's your first time, I'm super excited about what's getting ready to happen. And I'm gonna be honest, right? Because that's what I am. I had the most difficult time coming up with a concept, right? For this podcast this week. I was like all over the place. And then I was like, yes, I found it, because I was doing like a Twitter troll, right? And I really was like, yeah, this is gonna be good because I haven't done anything like this in a while. And so it was gonna be really, really good. But you know who wasn't having it. She was just like, I want to really focus on something else. I think it's time. Your podcast is gonna come up on the first day of spring, and this is a time of rebirth. It's time to do this. And she must really feel like being a complete and utter bitch because she is not even willing to compromise. Like, she was like, no, I'm not doing any of that. Okay. BT Dubs. For those of you who have absolutely no idea who I'm talking about, I'm not talking about my producer. I'm my producer. I'm talking about my enchanted beast. I call her Lilith, and I see her as a beautiful large black wolf. She is my spiritual aspect. So, you know, the whole wolf thing, thus the whole she's being a bitch, because wolf, bitch, you know, female. But there we go. Anyway, so yeah, but she wasn't having it. And so we're not going to talk about it, but I'm going to tell you, I really wanted to kind of jump into this whole J.K. Rowling situation because, you know, apparently she has characters in her books that are gay. And in the movies, they're gay. And so she was in an interview talking about Dumbledore and Grindelwald. I'm not a Harry Potter fan or a huge fan of that type of story. I've seen some Harry Potters with my children, but I don't really know enough about the characters to say whether or not they have, homosexual tendencies or what, right? So I don't know. But I thought it was really interesting that she's willing to say that, yes, these characters are gay. And yes, Dumbledore and Grindelwald, I can't remember his name, are in a very intimate and intense sexual relationship. However, she says it in the interviews and she says it when she's out talking to people, but she's not saying it explicitly in the book. And so she's really kind of pissed off the queer community, her fan, and her fan base who happen to be queer, because of some other comments that she made about sexuality and how she chooses to kind of represent it, right? So I really thought it would be like a really great topic for the week, because she said something like, "I'm not," and I'm paraphrasing, parabutchering her quote, okay, but she said something to the effect that, "I'm not going to write a bunch of kinky sex scenes in my novels," and then I read like where someone from the queer community said, in response, again, parabutchering the quote, because Lilith didn't want to do this. So, but he said, once again, gay relationships have been reduced to the physical or sexual nature of that versus the fact that it's another relationship. It's simply a relationship. So anyway, and I thought that was such a valid point, and I really wanted to kind of touch on that and talk about why. Why are we so hyper-focused on homosexual sex as opposed to just homosexual relationships, because they're relationships. Anyway, Lilith decided that she really wanted to do more exploration into this idea of elevation. I know. I mean, see what I'm saying? Because I was like right here and she was way what are you gonna do? She says, "We gotta start talking about how we, women who are connected with their beast, how we are here to do that. That is what we're here to be. To be the elevators of collective consciousness for all of humanity. And we need to start talking about it, Ella," is what she says. So, she's bigger than me, she's stronger than me, and she has more teeth than I have. So I guess we're talking about how women who have connected with their beast are destined to elevate humanity into a collective consciousness. Okay. Here we go. Oh my God, she just snidely said, "Exactly. It's Enchanted Beast Podcast, Ella, not Enchanted Ella's podcast." She's such a bitch. I don't know what's happening with her. I have no idea, but it's whatever. So I'm gonna go ahead and kind of slide into this, okay? So in the beginning, in the kind of intro thingy that comes in before I start talking. I asked, which pill would you take? Blue or red? Right? Now, I have notes because I am not smart enough to just have a butt ton of stuff in here. Well, I'm smart enough. I can't remember enough to do it. So you'll hear my pages turning and all that jazz, and you'll see me looking down because I'm constantly checking my notes. So in the beginning, I offered you the blue or red pill, right? The blue pill gets you an all access pass to the collective unconscious. I'm going to talk about all this stuff, so don't worry about it, right? The red pill gets you an all access pass to the collective conscious. Here's the deal. The blue pill is really not so hard to swallow, right? Not at all. The red pill, on the other hand, listen, it's going to take a great amount of thumb squeezing, right? To control that gag reflex. It's going to take a great amount of thumb squeezing, a lot of throat relaxation exercises, because it's huge. It is huge, and it packs a lot of spunk. So if you opt for the red pill, it's a lot to swallow. A lot to swallow. I am just here thinking. You just heard what I said. Okay, I didn't mean that in that way. I promise. I didn't mean the double entendre. I didn't. It just kind of happened. But oh well. Okay. Anywho. Okay, before we kind of get into everything, I do need to give you kind of a watered down version of what the collective unconscious and collective conscious is. And when I say watered down, like, I'm not lying. It's going to be like homemade Gatorade, watered down, okay? Because for me, it's not as important that you are able to defend a dissertation in this stuff as it is that you have kind of a working knowledge of it. But of course, I'm going to put some links for further reading in the description, you know, if you like psychology and all that stuff, okay? So here it is. The collective unconscious is basically a set of shared cognitive categories, right? And when I say shared, I mean they're shared by all of humanity, regardless of where you're born, what time you're born, to whom you're born. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, fat, skinny, black, white, blue, yellow, green, purple. It doesn't matter. Every human being has a shared set of cognitive categories on this deep unconscious level. Right? And these categories, they pretty much influence the way we think, the way we behave, and even how we navigate the world. Relationships, even how we look at ourselves. So yeah, it's a pretty big deal. And of course, no one's really aware of it, right? Now, the collective conscious is the shared ideas, beliefs, values, morals, standards, you know, what's acceptable, what isn't acceptable. Like, this is all the stuff that unifies societies. And that's like the huge, huge difference. Well, you know, you have humanity, which encompasses every living being, right? Every living human being. And then you have societies. My society could have a completely different collective conscious than the society four states over, right? So the collective conscious is a shared set of ideas, values, beliefs, institutions, things like that, that kind of unify societies, where the collective unconscious is something that most people aren't aware of. And it's kind of a cognitive, categorical way of moving through life and kind of connecting all of humanity. I've oversimplified it. I'm not going to lie. I've oversimplified this on purpose. Because right now, I really want to focus on elevating from collective unconsciousness to collective consciousness. And if you are paying attention, then you'll see how very broad that is. I'm talking about moving from a collective unconscious that everybody is privy to, everybody has access to, right? Even though we're not aware, everybody can pull from that collective unconsciousness, and we do. I'm talking about moving from collective unconsciousness on a humanity level to moving into collective consciousness on a human level, humanity, right? Not just collective consciousness within societies or families or whatever. No, I'm talking about going from being collectively, from sharing a collective unconscious to sharing a collective consciousness with humanity, right? So, to elevate from collective unconsciousness into collective consciousness, that's falling on us. Us women who have reclaimed their connection with their enchanted beast, and we know who we are, we know what we are, we know why we are, right? We're the ones who are going to do this. Now, real brief, Carl Jung, he was a psychologist, right? A father of analytical psychology. He actually coined the term collective unconscious. And you know those cognitive categories that I was talking about? He calls them archetypes, symbols that mean basically the same thing all over the world, regardless of your background schema, regardless of who you are as an individual, regardless of all of that kind of stuff that makes you who you are. There is something in you that understands that when you see a tree, right, you see the tree with the roots at the bottom and then a nice bit, you know, I don't know what it's called, the base of the tree, and then the branches that go out at the top, you immediately associate that tree with the tree of life, especially if they put a circle around it. It doesn't matter if the trees look different, right? As long as the roots are at the bottom, base, and then the branches at the top, and there's some type of circle, you associate that tree with the tree of life, the tree of knowledge, the tree of good and evil, the tree of beginning, right? Because that is an archetypical symbol that is shared within the collective unconsciousness. Now, why is that? I don't know, right? Why are we all like tuned in to this one collective unconsciousness? How did it happen? I don't know, right? That's the thing. Like Carl Jung was like, I can't answer that. That's a metaphysical question. I can't answer it. But he said, and this is like one of his quotes. He said, man's task is to become conscious of the content that presses upward from the unconscious to create more and more consciousness. Task, job, is to become conscious of the content that presses upward from the unconscious and then create more and more consciousness from that. That's the elevation from collective unconscious to collective consciousness, right? So, over this podcast, right, you'll hear a lot of changes in this quote because, you know, Jung was a man and he was, you know, from a time when women were still not treated well and, you know, kind of like now, right? But so you'll see some changes and hopefully you're paying attention, okay? So Jung said the psyche or the mind or the personality, it was like, okay, your psyche is your mind is where you have your personality. He says that it is made up of three parts. I have to get the science out of the way, you know that, right? So the psyche has three parts. I like to think of it as an iceberg. Although with global warming, melting all the polar caps, perhaps I won't have an iceberg. Maybe I should have it as something else. Now I'm sticking with the iceberg, okay? It's an iceberg. I digress. It's three parts. everybody knows that the part of the iceberg you see is really the smallest part of the iceberg, right? And it's kind of the most insignificant part of the iceberg. Well, for the psyche, that's called your consciousness, right? And your consciousness is anything that can be perceived through your five senses. If you can hear it, touch it, smell it, taste it, see it, you're conscious of it. You are aware of it, right? So the tip of the iceberg, the most insignificant part of it, the smallest little part of it is really your conscious mind. And then right below the surface, right? So if you're lucky enough to get out there to Antarctica and be on a boat and get close to an iceberg, you might be able to see below the surface and see just below the surface, right? He calls that the personal unconscious. The personal unconscious. And we all know we have an unconscious mind, right? We know we have our own personal unconscious mind, things that we forget about, events that happen that were insignificant, so we don't really, you know, call them up. Or maybe things that were really, really traumatic for us and traumatized us, and our brain was like, oh no, we can't hold on to that. So it represses it, right? But if we really, really need to, we can dig down into that personal unconscious mind and pull up information, right? If we need to, we can get access to that, yes? And it's a good chunk of our psyche, really. If you are along for the 7-week chakra series, you'll know that unconscious mind is really where we begin to shape our personality and how we interact with each other and with ourselves. And it's where we learn to emote from and all of it. So that unconscious, that personal unconscious mind really takes up a good chunk of our personality. But the bottom of the iceberg, it's huge. Very few people have an opportunity to see the bottom of the iceberg. And it is the most substantial part, right? So, part of the iceberg is the collective unconscious. It is the collective unconscious mind of humanity. It is where everyone learns to be human. It is that innate thing that recognizes all of these archetypical symbols, right? But because it's so far down, most of us aren't aware that it even exists. Because we are only aware of what the human mind can see, touch, feel, hear, smell. And what we can access, even if we can't see it, if we can access it, then we are aware of it, right? So we are aware of our consciousness. We are aware of our unconsciousness. And after that, that's it. Nothing else exists. But Jung says, yes, yes, you're a part of a collective unconsciousness. There's this huge thing that you have access to. And you have to become aware of it. Because if you're not aware of it, how in the world can you gain access to that content that's kind of pressing up, right? So, I want to go back to the blue and red pills. I'm not jumping all over the place, I promise. I wanted you to get just a little bit of understanding of Carl Jung's collective unconsciousness, right? But I want to get back to the blue and red pill. I may have misrepresented, okay? I do that sometimes, unknowingly. I may have misrepresented the fact that you had a choice, right? Because women, those of us who have truly connected with our enchanted beast, we are walking in tandem with her. We don't get a choice at all. We have to squeeze his thumb, relax our throat muscles, and swallow that red pill. We don't have an option, because that red pill is what helps us elevate the entire collective unconsciousness to collective consciousness of mankind, right? Now, pretty much everybody can take the blue pill. Like, you have to take it, right? Like, you get it at birth. You don't even have a choice. You take the blue pill, because we all have access to the collective unconscious. Even if we're not aware of it, we have access to it. We utilize it every day, right? But those of us who are connected, those of us who are aware, those of us who walk with our enchanted beast, we are here to elevate the world into the collective consciousness. Yay, yes, right? Seriously, get ready to have your mind blown. And once your mind is blown, you're gonna blow everybody else. Wait, I don't know why. I don't know why it keeps coming back. I think that's it. I think that's the last one of the whole blowing and swallowing thing. I'm excited to introduce this five-part series. A five-part series where I am discussing how we, us, the enchanted beast, how we are destined to elevate humanity from collective unconsciousness to collective consciousness. So I'll get to the five-part series at the end, because before we even get started with that, I really want you guys to take a moment and consider the state of the world. Not your little corner of the world, not your nice little suburban neighborhood, not your, you know, downtown loft, none of that. No, not your beach house, not your mountain home, not your apartment. I don't care. No, the entire world. Because we all swallow the blue pill. We're all connected. So even if you never have plans to leave your neck of the woods, you are still connected to people all over the world, because we all get the blue pill, right? Men, however, they don't ever have to take the red pill. They never have to be settled or saddled with raising a collective consciousness. Now, that's not to say that some men won't take the red pill, because they will. They have, right? But they have a choice. But whereas women who are connected, right? We don't have a choice. We have to take the red pill. Ella, what are you saying? Why would you have to? Why is it on our shoulders? Why wouldn't it be on our shoulders? You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't that be on our shoulders? And if you look at the state of the world right now, all over the world, if you look at the state of the world right now, it is so very devastatingly clear that there's way too much masculine energy flowing and not enough feminine energy. You don't believe me, right? Okay, fine. I'm going to share with you a little bit of research, because it's imperative that you understand that I'm not just, you know, spouting off stuff, trying to make all women feel empowered. It's not about that. This is reality, right? So I went to unwomen.org, and I'll put a link, obviously, in the descriptor box. But I looked at regions, right? Not even like countries or, no, it's like regions of the world. And I wanted to know which regions had the highest number of women in government positions. And of course, which regions had the lowest number. I'm gonna share with you what I found, okay? The highest number of women in government is 42.3%. And that's in the Nordic countries, right? Sweden, Switzerland, Denmark, Iceland, Greenland, a couple of others. The Americas, that's North and South America, they have 30% women, right? Europe, including Nordic countries, have 27.7. Europe, excluding Nordic countries, has 26.6. Sub-Saharan Africa, 23.6. Asia, 19.4. Arab states, 17.8, and I won't lie, that surprised me that they even had 17.8 in the Arab state. So, and the Pacific Islands, 17%. Now, I'm not going to go through the median, right? I'm not looking at the Americas down to the Arab states. I'm going to take the very highest and the very lowest, and I'm going to show you why having feminine energy is imperative to creating a collective consciousness that works for everyone. Let's start with the Nordic countries. Just a quick list of what their collective consciousness looks like as a region, okay? Not country to country, as a region, this is what their collective consciousness looks like. 42.3% women in government, okay? They have free healthcare and education. That includes higher education, university, university college. It also includes adult education. Like, hey, I'm 40 something and I wanna, you know, change my career. Go to school for free, that's fine. They have strong property rights, so the government can't come and encroach on your land whenever they want to. They have public pension plans, free trade with collective risk. They have little product regulation because they trust that if you're producing something, you're doing it for the good of the entire people, right? Low levels of corruption and they're full of transparency. Unionized employees, 88% of all of the employees are unionized. And the government encourages this. The government is in partnership with employers and labor unions so that when they're, you know, talking about cost of living rate, wages, when they're talking about insurance, whatever, then everybody has a voice. And it's not, I tell you what to do because I'm the law. The UN World Happiness Report, yes, I'm not making this up. Apparently the UN does a World Happiness Report, and they have said that the Nordic nations are where the happiest people in the world live. Are you kidding me? The happiest people in the world live in the Nordic nations. How many women do they have in government? 40. 2.3% of their government is female. Okay, I'm just saying. They have the highest in GDP per capita. Everybody's making money. Everybody's doing okay, right? They have a long life expectancy, male and female. And they promote gender equality, conservationism, huge, huge. With, you know, eco-friendly, sustainable, environmental, conservation, it's all there. Like, they are doing the darn thing, right? I'm gonna get back to this gender equality because, you know, everybody's like, oh yeah, go to Amsterdam, you can do this, this, that, and the third in the red light district, but peep this. In the Nordic region, the selling of sex is not illegal. It is 100% legal to be a prostitute in the Nordic regions. You get a license to run your brothel. You have access to health insurance. There's a union, right? They have their own union there. It is 100% legal, which means that people who are working in the sex industry, they are protected. They are allowed to work in safe, clean environments. Right? But it's illegal to purchase sex. You can sell it legally, but you can't purchase it legally. It's punishable by like a huge fine and up to 6 months in jail if you are caught purchasing sex. Why is that, Ella? That doesn't make sense. Who, I mean, if you can sell it, who are you supposed to sell it to if buying it is illegal? The women in parliament, right? The women in the Nordic parliament said, usually the people who are selling sex are weaker. And they're already the underdogs. So why are we going to punish them for trying to make a living when they're already being taken advantage of, right? But if you're out here paying for sex, well, that's illegal because you're already exploiting people. And I thought, wow, 42.3% of Nordic countries, that region, 42.3% of their government, people who are making policies that affect everyday lives, people who pass judgments and laws that say this is what's normal, this is what's acceptable, people who are creating the collective consciousness, 42.3% of those people are women. And this is what their collective consciousness looks like. Inversely, let's go to the Pacific Islands. Now, I knew that like Easter Island and, you know, Papua New Guinea and those smaller islands made up the Pacific Islands, but I had no idea that Australia and New Zealand made up those Pacific Islands as well. So Fiji, Bora Bora, all of those little places, right? Listen, they have 17%, right? Only 17% of that region's government is female, right? Only 17% is female. Look at their collective their collective consciousness. This is what is acceptable. This is what is the standard. Women work in one in three jobs available, right? Women only have a one in three chance of getting available jobs in the Pacific Island region. 9% of women hold seats in parliament. 1 in 2 women experience lifetime sexual, physical, and mental abuse. I'll put a link where I'm getting these facts from. And when I just said 9% of women hold seats in parliament, when I said 17%, that's all of the government agencies, right? But they broke it down, parliament. It's only 9% in parliament, right? There are few resources allocated to women's offices, right? Like, so from the whole budget in this region, they're very little. Less than 2% of the budget goes towards, you know, like we have Planned Parenthood or, you know, support for abused women, like these types of things. Less than 2% of the entire budget in these areas go towards supporting programs and agencies that are specifically designed for women. Disabled women and girls in this area are 2 to 3 times more likely to be victims of abuse. Excluding Australia and New Zealand, most Pacific Island countries' GDP per capita falls between $2,074 and $8,575 a year. I'm going to say that again. The GDP per capita, excluding New Zealand and Australia, the GDP per capita falls between $2,000 and $8,000 a year. That's what people are earning on average in the Pacific Islands. They have the highest rate of smoking, drinking, and obesity. They have a high mortality rate, low life expectancy due to cancer, stroke, diabetes, and heart disease. They have high poverty schools. 44.5% graduation rate. Are you kidding me? 44.5% graduation rate. 14.5% hold bachelor's degrees. 17.6% of the population lives below the poverty level. Now, what does this juxtaposition of the two regions, right? The highest and the lowest, right? What does this juxtaposition tell you? What is it telling us, ladies? Yes, that's me with my dramatic pause, giving you time to answer. Yeah. Exactly. Regions where women are active in making policies and affecting change, those regions are stronger, more productive, better educated, and more equitable for everyone. So it's not like, oh, women are just focusing on what's best for women. No, women are focusing on what's best for everyone because that is what we do. That is who we are, right? That is why we will raise the collective the collective consciousness. Us. Because everybody else is male dominated, and well, you can see what their collective consciousness looks like, right? So, it is up to us, ladies. It is up to us to create more and more consciousness. There's that word again. Create. Create. You already know. You already know. Word nerd girl time. It is word nerd girl time. I told you I was going to come back to that quote, right? Junk's quote. Because it's great, and it gave me a wonderful jumping off point, but it's not working for Lilith and I at all. So that word create, first and foremost, who creates? We do. Women, we create. We create life, right? Okay, I'm just putting that out there. But I wanted to look at this word create. It means to bring something into existence, to cause something to happen as a result of one's actions, to originate. That was too vague for me. I thought, so what are you saying? I think that was Oxford. So I went and I found this really neat dictionary online. It's English Learners Dictionary, and they're like really explicit. So I was really excited, right? Create, to make, produce, cause a particular situation or newness to exist using one's own talents and imaginations. Wow, look, I'm not even funny. I'm like, word nerd girl's really happy here because thank you. It's so explicit. So I bookmarked it. English Language Learner Dictionary. It is great. So if you're like a word nerd girl, you have to kind of, you know, bookmark it, right? Because listen to this. To make, produce, cause a particular situation or newness to exist using one's own talents and imagination. That is what it is to create. I like it. It made me happy. Okay, I'm going to stop dancing, but I really did like that. Anywho, I'm going to rework Carl Jung's quote so that it is more apropos for us. Right? So instead of man's, I have in brackets W-O, woman's, because that's us, right? Woman's task. Wait, I don't like that word. A task is like an obligation, right? It's a job. Someone in authority, someone above me, right? Someone above you says, hey, I have a task for you to do, and I want you to do it according to my expectations, and I want to make sure that it meets my standards. And so, no, I don't like that word task. I don't like it at all. Yeah. I'm gonna have to change that. And I spent a good chunk of time doing this. I'll put a link to my blog so that I can show you how I got from the word task to the word spirit. And I know, and you're thinking, wait, what? You'll have to go to my blog. And it's really through the magic of thesaurus.com that I got from the word task to the word spirit. Okay? So I'm not gonna go through it now, but yeah, I'll put a link. Okay? Woman's spirit is to become conscious or aware of the content, that's the detailed information, that presses upward from the unconsciousness to cause, I replace create with cause, more and more new consciousness or awareness to live. I didn't like exist either. Exist is like, oh, I'm just kind of here. I'm not really thriving. I'm not really, you know, mindful. I'm not really, you know, I'm just, we're not existing. That's not what we're here to do, right? Using talents and imagination. That doesn't even sound like Carl Jung's thing anymore. I have really, really kind of taken a lot of creative license with this, but I want to read it again in its entirety because this is the beginning of the 5-week series. Woman's spirit is to become conscious or aware of the content, the detailed information that presses upward from the unconscious to cause more and more new consciousness or awareness to live using her talent and imagination. All right, Enchanted Beast. All right, enchanted beast. Are you ready to start fulfilling your destinies? Yeah? You better be. You better be. Because I'm inviting you to join me for the next 5 weeks as I take you through the 5 steps to elevate from collective unconscious to collective consciousness. What are those 5 steps, Ella? You said you would come back to them, and I am. I'm going to go back to them right now. 5 steps. On next Wednesday, we hit step 1, listening. I know. Ella, this is so boring. I was pumped up. And now I'm like, wait, what? Listening. Next week, we hit the first step, listening. The following week, understanding. Week 3, progress. Week 4, change. Week 5, magic number 5, elevation. Listening, understanding, progress, change, elevation. How does that all work together? Here's your teaser for the series. Listening is the beginning of understanding. And understanding is the beginning of progress. Progress is the beginning of change. Change begets elevation. And you can't miss one because you can't miss any steps. You can't go from listening to elevation. You can't go from listening to change. You have to follow the steps. Okay? So next Wednesday starts part 1 of my 5-week elevation series. Please be sure to subscribe to my podcast wherever you listen. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel and you can actually watch my podcast. And if you want some behind the scenes footage and bloopers and outtakes from my recordings, and some of the other kind of weird things that happen in my day-to-day life as an enchanted romance writer, podcaster, blogger chick, then be sure to go to my blog and sign up to be an enchanted reader and receive my newsletter, because that's where I'll be posting a bunch of weird things. What else do I need to tell you? Yeah, I would love to hear from you. And you can either do comments on YouTube, or if you have the Anchor mobile app, you can actually call into my show and leave me messages, and I'll be able to listen to them and import them into some of my shows and then respond that way. So I would love, love, love to hear from you. Or you can just, you know, go to my blog and hit contact me and then talk to me that way. That is always an option. I think that's all of my announcements. So subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to Enchanted Beast Podcast. Subscribe to my YouTube channel if you would prefer to watch my podcast. That would be awesome. Make sure you sign up for my newsletter because you get behind the scene footage and exclusive information and access to contests and giveaways and all kinds of other crazy things. You can give me a call on my show with the Anchor app and I'll be able to kind of slide you in. And what else can I tell you? Oh yeah. And sign up. Comments. You can do comments on YouTube and I'll check them out, or you can send comments or contact me through my blog. So this is Ella, and I think we had a pretty good walk in the Enchanted Forest today. I really enjoyed it. So I guess this is it.
This has been Ella Sean
with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember, stay enchanted.